This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, as soon as I think we're getting close, I keep getting drugged back under the water here. Well, we're going to be having a podcast this week that will feature some testimonies from four of the people who are friends of Greg Wilson's, not just friends, but also business associates and people who have known him for a long number of years and can attest to his honesty and his forthrightness. In other words, there we have had over the past several podcasts in this magic serial, a lot of people who have been making accusations and giving their side of the testimony as to why they believe that Gregory has been a magic thief or has not given proper crediting, etc. In this particular case and podcast, we have people who are lined up to say, I don't know what they're talking about. Well, I'm going to let them say it in their own words. The people we have here today include Dave Grippenwald. Also, we have Eric Casey, and then followed by Tom Peterson and Danny Archer. Again, each of these guys have their own unique stories to tell of their association with Gregory over the last several years. But before we go into that, I want to first of all say thank you for those people who have been listening to the podcast and have chosen to donate by giving a one-time donation or their ongoing financial pledge to support the Magic Word Podcast. And in particular, I want to thank and welcome Matthew Neely, who is the latest in the Friends of the Magic Word. Thank you very much. I appreciate your donation and for joining the Friends of the Magic Word there, Matthew. And I also want to, again, encourage anyone else who might be interested in wanting to support the Magic Word, if you'll just go to themagicwordpodcast.com and look for the tab over to the side that will say to join the Friends of the Magic Word, you can learn how you can support us. Your support will be sincerely appreciated and noted. Also, we had a contest that was announced last week when we talked with Randy Pitchford, and that contest is still ongoing. If you have not yet had an opportunity to sign up and register for that contest, if you'll go to the Magic Word Podcast, scroll to the bottom, and you will see that you can enter the contest there. Only one entry per contest, and we have several people who have already registered for the contest. And so when you have a chance, please go over. It's not too late right now. So, we have a lot of people to get through and a lot of interesting stories for friends of Greg's to tell. So, please welcome, first on the agenda, Mr. Dave Grippenwald here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and I have with me today Mr. David Grippenwald. Hi there, David.
Hi, good to have you. Good to have you.
Good to be had.
Yeah, it's good to be had. This is like I'm doing a radio show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have a radio background, so.
I do, so all of a sudden I'm interviewing you. So what would you like to talk today about, Scott?
Yes, exactly. What's on your mind? What can we talk about? Well, we're here today, obviously, to talk a little bit about Gregory Wilson over the past several weeks or months that we've been kind of going on, and there have been people who have had issues that, let me back up, that Gregory had mentioned to begin with of saying, well, I have an issue with Apollo Robbins and John Lovick, et cetera, mentioned these guys and saying that they have been accusing me of magic thievery. And so it only seems fair, again, that we kind of hear people who have known Greg and can attest to his character. So I'm looking for people, I guess, who can attest to the good side of Greg's character, because most of the people who have been on have been very defensive of their positions. But again, those are the ones who were kind of called out by Greg initially. So I just wanted to speak with a few people, such as yourself and a few others. So you've known Greg for quite some time, I assume?
Yeah, we probably go back about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you use the word that actually I would describe as why I'm doing this at all. And that's with fairness. Because, you know, I've been, and we've all been in situations where gossip, stories, true or not, can just kind of snowball.
Oh, boy.
And how few people take the time to confirm what they hear.
Right.
And the damage that it can do. And so, you know, I appreciate that you're saying, okay, well, let's look into this and do it fairly.
Well, thank you. And that's precisely what I want to do, in that to show all sides, everyone has, I don't think they have an agenda, but everyone has an opinion. Have you worked with him just as a friend? Have you been a consultant? Have you had some tricks that he has put out of yours? Or have you been around him when he has developed these things? Or what is your relationship and what can you say?
Actually, all of the above.
Okay.
And probably the best way for me to kind of express kind of how all of this strikes me was to kind of give you the same reaction, or at least pass along in the reaction that I had when I first heard this, mm-hmm. because I wasn't aware to some degree of some of the swirling around. And so kind of out of the blue, I was talking to some other guys and, you know, one of them said, well, you know, Greg's got kind of a reputation for stealing stuff. And so my immediate reaction was, wow, really? Cause it just struck me as odd because I've known him for 25 years mm-hmm. and that's given him ample opportunity to steal my stuff. And he's yeah. never taken advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know he likes my ideas because he uses them all the time. We get together, we brainstorm. And like, you know, for example, I told him about this idea I had, which he really liked, and he did not take it. He went and pitched it to Chris Smith. They bought the rights and it went on the market as stockholder. And, you know, so, you know, I've seen him from that marketing side. He loved Eric Casey's Poker Test 2.0. Mm-hmm. Eric came to him before it ever came out and said, hey, you know, look at this. And he loved the concept, but the routine, he goes, well, what if you did this? And basically came up with the routine that's in the packaging. I mean, it's what you get is Greg's thinking. And Greg gave him the routine, gave him permission to use it, helped connect him with distribution. And even though Eric, who has integrity of his own, said, well, let me pay you for all this. He said, no. You know, just it's you know, good stuff. Go for it. And the other thing that struck me as odd in all of this, and I got to say, I was not in the room where Greg's having the conversations that he's talked about, you know, with this person or that person, and obviously I wasn't there. But from my perspective, when I hear about these conversations, it strikes me weird. Frankly, I have to ask again, this is my reaction. I'm thinking, does he need to steal stuff? Because he and I have been put together some material, Coffee House Conjuring. Originally it was going to be a book. It's come out in Magic Magazine. It's come out in form of lecture notes and, mm-hmm. and Penguin DVDs and stuff like that. We sat down and came up with 178 separate routines and ideas. I'm not saying that to say, oh, you know, aren't we great? I'm just saying that there was 178 ideas.
Yeah, I've got a copy of the book. It's awesome, and I love them. I do some of them, yeah.
And so, you know, clever, so creative. All that material. And I work with him with the Argane Gaff series from The Illusionist. I work with him on Pointless, Cold Case, Ringleader. So I'm watching the way this guy creates. And, yeah, it's kind of like Bill Gates getting some spare change by shoplifting. I just, it's hard for me to see right. what the point was. He's got so much stuff he could market tomorrow that will be great. And he probably will at some point. Then, you know, it just seems very odd to me. But more than that, I've seen him in just the opposite. He's actually come to me, and this is not just once. It's on more than one occasion, with a routine that he saw somebody do. Or he's talking with him or saw it in print or whatever and said, wow, I really like that. And he's played with it and he's worked and he's added some other stuff. Well, this is what I do with it, blah, blah, blah. And he's come to me with the specific question going, and the idea is to either add it to his own material or, you know, publish it or whatever. But he's come to me with a question on several occasions to say, is this close enough to is this too close to the original? Is it different enough? You know, can I put it into print? Do we market this? Sometimes my input is, oh, you know what? There's nothing like it. It's original. You know, go for it. And other times we come to the conclusion, nope, it's just not different enough. And he's moved on and it doesn't become part of his material. And so I've actually been involved with the exact opposite going on mm-hmm. than him stealing stuff. So.
Well, that was one of the things that I believe that John Lovick had said, was that Greg had pointed out that he is so creative, why would I want to steal anyone else's ideas? And that Greg, or rather John, was saying, I understand, but and I agree that it's a good marketing strategy to take other people's ideas and go to market with them and say, for an example, Gregory Wilson presents Dave Gripenwald's newest effect of the Vanishing Beanbag, whatever. And so with that, he said, John was saying, nothing wrong with that business model, but if he is that creative, why does, how can he have enough time to spend with putting out other people's items and marketing those instead of marketing his own stuff if he's got that much creative energy?
Well, I guess my question would be, why not do both? Let's assume, I'm sure, you know, maybe John was not saying that that's what he's doing legitimately, but let's just assume that Greg has the choice of putting out marketing material of his own, or someone comes up to him and does what I did. Mm-hmm. I had this idea and he went, yeah, hey man, let's run with that. Why not do both? Because mm-hmm. he is doing both.
Yeah.
You know, Cold Case is an original piece of material, and then things that he's associated with, that's to me an odd thing to say, do both. The question is whether he's doing it legitimately or illegitimately in some way, and I just don't buy that he's doing it illegitimately.
Right. Well, he's been obviously creating and doing a lot of things for the magic community and giving a lot or selling a lot or having magic available that he has created and offered over the years, certainly, that has moved our generation forward with into restaurant magic and stage, a lot of different kinds of creative ideas. So he certainly has had a major influence worldwide, I think, on in magic in general, and probably has his fingers in more things than we can imagine.
Well, and the other thing that I understand, that when you've got lots of people sharing their experiences, it's a little bit more complicated than just saying, you know, I showed him a trick, he took it and marketed it, and you've got elements where, hey, I came up with this and it's similar to that guy, or, and this has happened a number of times, you know, Greg's ready to put something out and someone else beat him to the punch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar enough, and his reaction isn't say, oh, that guy stole it from you. His reaction is, oh, he beat me to the punch. What a drag. I'm really sorry that happened. And he's beat people to the punch as well. And sure. They're, you know, you've got everything from, like, you know, Marlo changes a finger position and wants to call it original, all the way up to taking someone else's concept. Like, you know, Steve Bedwell, with his deck shaker, invisible deck. Why is he putting out an invisible deck? He's ripping off the invisible deck. No. You take something that exists and you build routining around it. You might build new methods around it, whatever it is. And some of that's legitimate. Sometimes it's so close that people have a different opinion as to whether, you know, how legitimate it is. But when you throw all that sort of stuff in the pot, it just gets to be very mushy and hard to pick through the truth and really come out the other side with understanding what's been going on. And again, like I say, I appreciate you doing that. And you know what? It seems like Greg is willing to take on every individual accusation and say, no, look, it's in print here. This is what happened. That's happened. So let's do that.
Yeah. So in summing up and starting to wrap up then with this part of it, that you would say that for the 25 years or so that you've known him, that he's been nothing less than honest and straightforward and has never stolen any magic ideas to your knowledge.
Absolutely.
Right.
And there's stuff that, I mean, he's had 25 years worth of opportunity to take my stuff. We've talked about other things. Like I said, we've talked about his interaction with other magicians and their magic. And I've seen all sides of it, except for the one that he's being accused of about taking stuff, you know, that isn't his.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experience in dealing with him and watching him and watching him interact with other people and material, and even how he's interacting with people who are accusing of things that you know, anybody would be upset to be accused of.
Yeah.
It's always been handled with integrity. So where it's all coming from, I can't say, but I'd have to hear and see a lot more proof to even give it a second thought.
Right. Good point. Good. Well, Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Certainly. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dave Griffenwald. This is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and I have with me as my guest right now Mr. Eric Casey. Hi there, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic, thank you. Where do you live? Are you in California or what part of the country?
I'm actually on the opposite side. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, okay. And I understand that you've been a friend with Greg's for a long time?
Not a long time. It's only been for maybe four years now, mm-hmm. about 4 or 5 years.
How did you first meet him?
I was 18, and he lectured in Jacksonville, and I think it was October 2011 that he lectured. And so I didn't miss an opportunity at that age to see any lecture I could, and that was a phenomenal lecture for me.
Yeah, he is a phenomenal and creative kind of a guy, certainly. And were you doing close-up magic? Were you working restaurants, or what was your specialty? What did you like back then?
At the time, I actually worked a couple different jobs, but I was, for magic, I was actually working with Harry Allen down in Daytona.
Oh, yeah.
And I was used for the conventions, so I'd fly out to the dealer rooms and help Harry at conventions.
Gotcha. So after you saw Greg at the lecture, that was when I guess you had approached him, or how did you become friends? Or
yeah, it's actually an interesting story. After the lecture, during the lecture, he would always ask if anyone saw what I did, you know, before he taught. He'd say, if anyone saw what I did, you know, raise your hand, let me know, what did you see? Mm-hmm. And I took that as him genuinely wanting to improve his performance mm-hmm. in case I was at an angle I didn't see. So I consistently raised my hand and was saying, well, here you looked a little unnatural, or here it looked a little odd. And he, I guess, really appreciated that. So afterwards we were talking and I showed him a trick I was working on, which then became the poker test. And that is how we became friends, I guess, because afterwards he just kind of wanted to keep workshopping on my trick and help improve my trick and my handling and my performance. And yeah, I guess we kind of became friends through that experience.
Right. Now, what is the name actually as it's marketed of the trick?
Well, it is now the Poker Test 2.0 is the marketed effect.
Okay. And tell me about the genesis, I guess, again, that you had been working on that and then you showed him just to kind of get some ideas or say, hey, have you ever seen this before? Or why did you approach him to begin with?
Well, I had no intentions on showing it to him because I didn't think personally that it was good. I had just shown a couple of the guys at the local club and they encouraged me. They're like, you got to show Greg, just see what Greg says. And I showed it to him. And again, in my head, I was thinking it was just some cute little card trick. And Greg instantly loved it, but didn't love my performance. And naturally so, my performance actually was really bad. And he helped me improve the performance and handling over the course of like 6 hours. So like after the lecture ended, we ended up hanging out until about 4 a.m.
He does that regularly. I have done the same thing after a lecture. We've closed the bars after 3 o'clock or something, and we're still working on wristwatch deals or something. He's a great guy about that, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, especially for me being 18, mm-hmm. not having a super large experience in the mat, to have essentially one of the guys I look up to and have looked up to for like 10 years. Just be like, oh, let's go to this local like 24-hour diner and let's like really, really workshop this trick.
So did you then start working with him as far as doing some Skype calls, or how did you continue to workshop? What was the continued evolution of this poker test?
Well, initially, I didn't know how I wanted to go about releasing it because, again, I was 18 and I was new to that whole thing. So I actually told Greg that night that he could essentially have the rights to it. Like he could release it as long as he just kind of put my name on it. Mm-hmm. And Greg gave me a great, great piece of advice. And it was never sell the rights to your trick ever of any creation. And just hold on to it and do all the hard work it takes to get it produced, because it will pay off in the long run. And so after that, we had a couple emails back and forth but it really kind of just fizzled out and died because even him saying do the hard work, I didn't know what the hard work was. So it kind of stepped back up about a year later at the IMX convention when I ran into him.
Mm-hmm. Out in Las Vegas?
Yeah, and he introduced me to Bajar, the owner of
Penguin,
yeah, and I didn't know who it was at the time when he introduced me. He just said, hey, can you do that poker test trick on him? So I did, and Ajar's first reaction was to ask how much it was and if he could buy the first 1,000. So then we just went down to one of the cafes in the hotel and actually shot some demo footage with Greg with the poker test. And those are the first steps, I guess, to getting that like product off the ground. So, and then Greg still never asked for anything of me. We'll always say that because I feel like people think that getting him on the demo and having all of that, like he never financially asked for anything. He just did it for fun, I guess. I don't know. I still to this day don't know why he did it and helped me so much. It's kind of blows my mind.
So he's still never really taken a nickel from you, for me, the royalties or any of the sales or anything, huh?
No. And to this day, he still actually buys them from me so he can sell them at lectures.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say right now, it still does not make sense. Like, I don't, but I'm unbelievably grateful for like all the work Greg has put into like my success.
Now, has he lent his name to that as far as saying Gregory Wilson presents Eric Casey's poker test or something like?
Nope, it is still
all
an Eric Casey production.
Okay. That's interesting. I was wondering about that, of whether that he would have actually endorsed it from that standpoint. But in the demo, he was sitting in on that, or was he involved with any of the taping or being involved with being on camera?
Yeah, he was involved with the demo material, with being on camera with him performing it in Vegas, so we got to shoot there. But as far as like teaching and all of that DVDs, like behind-the-scenes stuff, was all of me.
Right. Now, was that the only thing that you have come up with where that he has been involved or that you have shared with him?
So I figured it would stop there as well, but I have another trick that I actually don't know when you're releasing this podcast. So it might be out now when everyone's hearing it. It might be coming out in the next couple of days. I don't know. But Greg, yet again, saw that trick and asked like what I was working on, and I showed it to him. And at Magic Live this past year, we worked on it over dinner, and then he went back to California and actually in studio shot a bunch of different handlings of my new trick and some different performances in the studio, and again just sent it to me, and I get to use it now, and he still doesn't want anything from it, and I don't understand to this day still, but I'm really grateful to Greg for that, because it definitely, being me, it definitely helps that, like, having a name like Greg being attached to the project helps, like, immensely for me.
Well, that's always interesting, because I have people who have approached me, and I have heard some people approach others and saying, I have this idea for a trick, which I think is new. And first of all, I would like to show it to someone who has some background and knowledge to find out, is this new? Is it different enough from what has gone before? Or is it a big enough variation in order to make this new and original? But more importantly, how do I go about marketing it? Particularly, like you said, whenever that you were a teenager and you didn't know who to go to or how to go about marketing this at all. And there are a lot of people, young and old alike, who will come up with some ideas and have no idea where to go. And from what we have seen, or some people have attested on this podcast in the past, they have pretty much definitely said, I wouldn't want to share anything with Gregory because he'd rip me off and never hear another thing of it. So it's great to hear this particular thing, that he would be the guy to go to say, hey, what do you think of this? And can you help me out? And he has proven that certainly in your case.
Yeah, I mean, I literally to his face told him, you can have this trick and release it yourself, like giving him permission to take it. And he still said, no, I don't want to like butcher this quote that he told me, but in essence, he told me, I want your first success to be a huge success. The last thing I ever want to do is like take your work, like verbatim.
That's so great.
So yeah, so after hearing all of that, and like, again, I didn't know Greg 15 years ago when the whole everything with Apollo went down. So like, I'm not gonna, right. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to say anything about that because I have sure. no idea.
Sure.
But I do know, since I've known Greg, he's done nothing but like do everything for my success. And it doesn't make sense to me, but that's the Greg I know. Is
yeah. So when you hear all these stories successful. From these other people who are making these accusations, that's just not lining up in your mind as being the person you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've heard everything and it's confused me essentially. And like, I'm not going to say everything everyone's saying is false. I'm not going to say everything they're saying is true because again,
yeah.
it's their truth. I don't know, but my truth right. is Greg is immensely like helpful and really creative. Like I won't lie. I sat down with the poker test. He had the basis of the poker test routine idea within about 5 minutes of me handing the cards to him. Like it wasn't even remotely what I was doing. So he's like more creative than anyone I've ever worked with too.
Yeah. I've heard that from several other people as well who have sessioned with him and just say that he really contributes a lot and just says, well, we can do this with it and this with it. And what if you turn it this way and whatever? So he does have quite a creative mind. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the only thing to a reference a previous podcast, which unfortunately I don't remember the gentleman's name, but it was when he was talking about Revolution with the spun card idea.
Brent Garris.
Yeah, and he made the comment, I am confident Greg had never thought of having like the spun ink on the card until I showed it to him. And that's like, I honestly audibly laughed out loud because I was like, and every time I've sat with Greg and shown him my work, he's come up with ideas so unbelievably fast that like, I'm confident Greg thought of a spun card idea mm-hmm. and then a billion other ideas the second he thought of Revolution. Like mm-hmm. I'm sure he had 50 other ideas that aren't even shown on the DVD that he just had within minutes.
Right. Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate your testimony and talking on Greg's behalf.
Yeah, my pleasure. I hope this is enough that people can now hear and weigh both sides of the story and still go to Greg with their ideas.
That sounds great. Well, thank you very much. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Eric Casey. This is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I have with me today from jolly old England, actually. You see over there right now, but he's from Los Angeles, California. Please welcome Tom Peterson. Hi there, Tom.
Hey, Scott. Great to be here.
Well, shouldn't you be saying hello or something like
hello.
That?
Hello.
You haven't been there long enough, eh?
Might. Yeah. Horrible accent.
You're just over there for a little bit of business, I guess?
No, actually, I live here. I've been here about 7 years now. I met my wife over here, which, as you can imagine, what a surprise that was. You know, what are you doing here? You know, but I met her here and I want to, move to LA and she wanted to live in England. So we live in England.
Yeah, I know how that works.
But we're actually looking at relocating, in the near future. So might be back in the state before too long.
But you lived in LA and you have known Gregory Wilson for a long number of years.
I've never actually lived in LA. I maintain an LA phone number and business address. I'm actually originally from Minneapolis, but okay. I have known Greg for about 21, 22 years now. So, yeah.
And in your association, have you collaborated on any creative projects or jointly that you put out or just been around him when he has been? Or what's been your experience in working with him?
I don't think Greg has a mode that doesn't involve creating and collaborating. He's been a huge help to me for years and years. He's opened lots of doors for me. I like to think that I've contributed some to some of his routines as well. But he's a bit of a machine. If you haven't spent time with Greg, and I know you have, Scott, he's kind of nonstop. I remember I used to always go out to L.A. I worked at the Castle once a year, and I used to stay with him down in Orange County. And after, like, you know, I always worked, like, late parlor, late palace or whatever, or late close-ups, excuse me, palace. But yep. I remember after a long night at the Castle, I'd come back to his, and he'd want to stay up for another 3 and 4 hours working on stuff. So he was exhausting. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that he stays awake and maintains that creative edge still into the wee hours of the morning. I mean, certainly the dawn comes up and you're ready to go home and he's still, but what, here's another idea.
I've seen it. He power naps. He'll sleep for 2 hours. He'll get up. He'll start working. He'll sleep for 2 hours. He'll get up. I think this is one of the reasons that he's still not married. It's just, I don't know anybody that could live with that. I mean, he is literally 24/7 magic. Yeah. I like to think of myself as very enthusiastic and a hard worker, but
right.
Yeah. Nothing like that.
Now, again, in your experience, I guess, of knowing him, and you have been listening to some of these podcasts in the past in which there have been those who have accused him of magic thievery, that is, of taking some ideas and not giving proper crediting, or just not recognizing that someone has come up with an idea, or and basically saying that they have been lying. Has this been your experience? Have you seen that, or have you?
I personally haven't. I know that, you know, that sort of reputation he's gotten, but I think it's been a lot of just, Chinese whispers. I think one person says it. It's easier to believe than it is to actually look into it. And it is kind of funny because at first, you know, when Greg would say, you know, I'd show him something, he goes, oh, I had that idea. And then, you know, somebody else would show him something, oh, I had that idea. And it gets to be kind of funny after a while. It's like, you know, oh, sure, Greg, you had this idea. But then you spend time with him and you realize he really did have these ideas because this is all he does. So, I've never encountered that. I've never encountered him thieving. I've seen actually some of the most moral behavior as far as trying to give credit and trying to backtrack and find the origin of the genesis of the trick and give proper credit where credit is due. I know on one of the podcasts, somebody mentioned something about Pat Page and how, you know, Pat Page was upset about Fred Capps's release and them saying, no, Pat Page and Fred Capps were best of friends. Well, I was at Greg's apartment when Pat Page was on speakerphone and he was getting permission and talking to Pat about, Hundy 500. And, you know, Pat Page and Fred Capps might have been best friends, but on that point, there was some
friction.
Yeah. There was some bitterness. You could tell Pat Page wasn't, you know, he wasn't overt about it, but you could tell he was not happy about what Fred Capps had done and he was vocal about it at the time. So, I know the work that Greg put into getting Pat Page's blessing on that, and I know Hundy 500 never would have seen the light of day if Pat so much as hesitated about giving his blessing on that. So,
because that's just the kind of guy he is, he would not have.
Now, Greg and I, when it comes to things like religion and politics, we could not be further apart on those subjects. So, you know, when somebody says to me, you know, I couldn't possibly do this because I'm a Christian, to me, it's no different than if somebody said I couldn't possibly do this because I read the Lord of the Rings trilogy. However, I know Greg and I know Greg's character and some of the things that have been said about what he's capable of, it just doesn't gel. One thing in particular, I'll preface this by saying I do not know Apollo Robbins. I've never met Apollo Robbins. I have no axe to grind with Apollo Robbins. The only thing I know about Apollo Robbins is I heard an interview of him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, an NPR news quiz show, where they described him as maybe the world's only professional pickpocket, something that he didn't, you know, go out of his way to correct. And all I could think at the time was, well, James Friedman, David Stahl, Lee Thompson. I can think of a lot of professional pickpockets. But anyway – but one of the things he balls out said, you know, that Greg stole this metal detector out of his bag, but he did it in such a weird way as to not, you know, saying, hey, I'm not saying nothing. All I'm saying is 1 minute it was there. Have the guts to just say, no, he stole it out of my bag. If that's what you believe happened. But he doesn't have any evidence for it. It's you know, so there's not a court in the land that would listen to that. And my other question about that, I'm not a master of chronology or anything here, but he was saying that he had this metal detector, and then later he tried to get permission to do this bit from Tom Bergoon. So I don't know. Did you catch that, Scott? Are we to understand that he was using this bit before he got permission from Tom Bergoon? Because that's,
you know,
where I got.
Yeah, that was kind of unclear with me, and I have to go back and to listen to that again, because it sounded as if that he was saying that Gregory had gotten the idea after watching him do it, and that he Apollo told him that this was Tom Bergoon's effect. Well, if it was, then he would have already gotten permission, or else he would have been stealing someone else's material, basically.
Yeah.
But when Apollo went to ask Tom to use this, then he said, "I've already sold this to Greg." And so, in other words, it's as if the Greg, you know, swiped this rug out from underneath Apollo's feet. Now, it could be that Apollo was not using it, but rather saw it, liked it, and was going to investigate putting it into his routine. And after he approached Tom Bergoon about it, found out that he had already sold that to Greg. It's just that
He said he had it in his bag, and now with it missing, he didn't. He didn't have it for Japan, and he didn't have it for like some other show he was doing.
Right.
And this is before he was before he talked to Tom Bergoon. So, well,
yeah.
And it just smacked weird to me. And then he also talked about, and maybe you can elucidate on this. He talked about this clip of him at the castle. I'm not a master of the web, but I've looked pretty hard. I can't find it. Have you seen it?
I have not seen that online. That doesn't mean necessarily that it would be posted on the web. In fact, I doubt that it would.
He said if you look, it's a clip of me on the web. It's a short sort of compilation clip where I'm at the castle and you can see the sign.
That's right. That's right.
I can't find it.
I would think that you'd have to search through all of Apollo's YouTube videos, and I just haven't had the time to research that, because as he said, it would be a clip and a montage of that, and so therefore I would have to go through hours of whatever I assume that he has out there to try and find that 3-second clip, and I just haven't had the time nor attention.
See, and I didn't find that much. I Googled Apollo Robbins Magic Castle under video, and there was like maybe a page of stuff. So
it may not necessarily be the Magic Castle. In other words, if he's showing these are just different outtakes of some of my performances that could have been anywhere, and so he didn't tag Magic Castle with that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So it could be out there, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, certainly.
But okay. Again, as to your experience and everything that you're seeing, is that it sounds like that what I'm reading between the lines, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but that you think that maybe some people who are accusing him might have an axe to grind or something with him, or do you have any reason why you think that they might be making these accusations?
You know, I'm not going to speak to anybody else's motivations. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I think some people have been very unfair to Greg, and I don't know if it's, you know, in some cases maybe sour grapes. In some cases, they've just been listening to other people's rumors. I don't know. All I know is I've known the guy for like 21 years, and my experience is he is nothing but generous and collaborative nonstop with anybody. I think he's one of the most giving guys out there. So to see him, you know, to see people lining up to take swings at him, it was just, I don't know. And I said this to you already, Scott, and I think you agree with me. Nobody wins these things.
Correct.
You know, this is, you're swinging at pitches in the dirt, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, people are going to be having their opinions. I had said in an earlier podcast that those who believe no explanation is necessary, those who don't believe no explanation will suffice. And it's the same thing. If you believe a certain way, just as we were talking about religion a while ago, and whether you're a Christian or a non-believer, that there, it's, I don't know what it will take in order to move somebody into another camp. And so if they believe for whatever reason that I have been harmed, that tends to get blown out of proportion, particularly if there hasn't been any defense, and there hasn't been for a number of years. And that was the whole reason I believe that Gregory wanted to step out and make these points of saying, look, I've been silent for far too long, and this has gotten out of hand, and this has snowballed to the point that I really need to say something now, rather than nipping it in the bud back in 2001 or 2 or whenever this got going, and then addressing each one as it went. But
yeah.
I understand he'd been counseled by a trusted friend not to do anything and just let the chips fall, but those chips continue to mount up to a pretty big stack.
Well, I think a lot of us were probably just saying, you know, let it go. But, yeah. You know, we're not the ones being attacked. And that was, I mean, that was another thing somebody said was, you know, I think the phrase was shepherding his victims by checking in on them on an annual basis to make sure they're okay. You know, when you start hearing rumors about yourself, yeah, you're going to start asking your friends, hey, are we cool? You know, I mean, I don't think that's shepherding. I think it's just, you know, kind of damage control or watching your back.
Right.
But I would say that, you know, I know for a fact that I've lost I've lost acquaintances, because they know that I'm friends with Greg. And I would say, you know, I've never been one of these guys that the enemy of my enemy is, or the enemy of my friend is my enemy. But I would say, you know, make your own mind up, you know, meet Greg, get to know him, see if your experiences are, you know, positive or negative. And another thing is, you know, with the crediting thing that was brought up, and I'm not going to name names, but it's really easy for someone to say, oh, he's not crediting this, or this is the exact same move as someone else. Really? Check it out, because I was accused a while back of, on a routine that I did, of not crediting 5 different people. And the person who said it loud and proud. And it would be very easy to hear that and go, wow, Tom didn't credit these 5 people. But I did some research and I looked into all these different crediting issues, and on every single one of them, he was wrong, 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 wrong. Mm-hmm. So just because somebody is accusing someone of missing on crediting doesn't mean they're right. Look up the credits yourself. You know, I mean, and I don't know on some of the stuff that, you know, he's being called on, you know, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. I don't know, but make up your own mind is what I would suggest.
Well, that's good advice and probably a good place to leave it right there, that people should make up their own minds rather than necessarily believing one side or the other, and sometimes just trust your gut. You know, if you feel uncomfortable or comfortable, whichever it is, then go with that.
I'd love to see us start acting more like a brotherhood of magicians and not a bunch of bitchy little schoolgirls. So.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Hey, Scott, sorry about the circumstances. I'm on your show, but thank you for listening to my 2 cents.
Certainly so. It's been a pleasure. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tom Peterson, and this is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I have with me as my guest right now Mr. Danny Archer. Hi there, Danny.
Hi, Scott.
Great to have you on the podcast here today, and we have spoken many times in the past, and of course, you're the half of the Mindvention, along with Robert Allen.
Correct, Mindvention, the Mentalism Convention, which is going to be coming up this, might as well plug it, November 13, 14, 15, and if you're in Europe, I've got the Mind Summit Convention, which is May 6th, 7th, and 8th, if you're in Europe and you're looking for mentalism.
And that's always a great time, not only the location, but also the content and the people who attend. It's one of my favorite conventions.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it is a good time. And amongst my many other magic-related business interests is my involvement in thesecretsource.com with Gregory Wilson, the subject of our talk today.
Right, and you have been partners with him for a while?
Well, yeah, The Secret Source, we've been talking about. The company only officially launched at Magic Live in August, so we're less than a year old. Mm-hmm. But I've worked together with Greg in different capacities going back to 1995. So a little bit over 20 years is how long I've known Greg and have worked with him.
And that goes back, again, whenever you were booking him as a lecturer along with a lot of other people when you still had the lecture net.
Correct. I used to have the company, the Magician's Lecture Network, that arranged lecture tours on a national basis. And that's when that's how I first met Greg and started working with Greg. And then, you know, we started working closer and closer together. Mm-hmm. And then when I started to go into business with him with thesecretsource.com, a couple of people, you know, whispered in my ear, hey, Dan, you know, there's rumors Greg is a thief and Greg is this and Greg is that. And I had heard all these things previously before. I'd listened to all the previous podcasts that you did, and I think I know everybody that was speaking on it. But when you listen to it, I really didn't hear anyone saying Greg stole my idea. I heard cases of independent invention. I heard miscrediting issues, but nothing really that said to me, here's an idea where Greg took and stole my idea.
Yeah, and whenever that you went into business with him, you actually did a gut check to say, well, okay, I value the opinions of my friends. However, in my experience, I just haven't seen this in him, and so I'm going to go into business with him.
Exactly. And one of the things, you know, Greg and I share a lot. We talk about effects and things like that. He's incredibly prolific. You know, since, Scott, we've been on this call a couple of minutes, he's probably invented a new trick or two just as we've been on this call.
Yeah.
So people that don't invent as much, it's not going to happen to them as much. The more prolific you are, the more cases of things that are going to happen. And sometimes, like a month ago, Greg sends me an email. We get on the phone. He says, watch this video clip. I watch it. I said, yeah. He says, that's a trick I had in my notebook in 1994. And he says, in addition to what he did, I had this idea and this idea for it. Mm-hmm. But Greg didn't put it out in 94, 95, or 96. He never put it out. So now the magic world thinks it's this person's trick. And you know what? It is their trick. But that doesn't mean that they were the first inventor or the creator. They were just the first one to come to market. And again, if you only invent one or two tricks, then that's not going to happen that much. When you're inventing hundreds and hundreds of tricks like Greg has, that's going to happen a lot more. The people that follow this stuff, if they keep their eye in the business, they're going to see a number of releases from Gregory Wilson coming out this year, next year, just a variety of different ideas, everything from kid show to stand-up to close-up to improv, just a wide range of ideas. And these are original ideas as he's, and if we get them out first, they'll be his. If we wait too long, someone else will put them in.
Right. Well, he's got his fingerprints, I think, in so many things that people don't recognize. I mean, they know he's a creative guy, but sometimes his name may not be credited in some other ideas of that people put out.
Yeah, and you know, and crediting is important in the magic business, but in my opinion, it used to be a lot easier to credit something when tricks came out on a much more limited basis.
Mm-hmm.
Tricks are literally coming out where there's 20 new tricks a week. Yeah. Nobody at this point can know everything that's been written or published. And plus, our universe used to be, we were worried about in America before the internet, it was just keeping up with what was going on in America.
Yeah.
Now, France and Germany and Spain and Japan and Asia and there's the South America, just the explosion of stuff coming out, nobody anymore can really vet a trick and realize that. I remember I came up with something one time. I thought, oh, this is a good idea. And I checked, I think, with Max Maven. And he said, oh, yeah, he said, this was a neat idea. I said, but it was published previously, but only in Japan, huh, in a limited edition book, which he says, assuming you don't read Japan. You know, no, I never read it. So it's still an idea. It was an original idea of mine, but someone in Japan beat me to the punch in getting it published.
Well, and certainly there can be individual simultaneous invention happening.
Oh, there is, and I've got a story. I've told this story to a few magicians, and they always say, oh, my. When they hear this, well, I'll tell it to you. I'll keep it short. About 18 years ago, I get a phone call from a magician from Kansas. I forget the gentleman's name. I had lectured in his city. I think he was from Kansas City. And he saw I had a number of tricks on the market, and he had now invented a trick. He had published nothing. He invented nothing. No one had ever heard of him. So I said, okay, he seems like a nice guy. Can you tell me your trick? He said, yeah, the name of the trick is called Phobia, and it has to deal with phobias, fears that people have. So I have a number of cards, fear of water, fear of heights, fear of spiders, a bunch of different fears. Someone picks one, and they, in his case, they would pick the fear of snakes. And then he has an envelope on the table, which he says, in there is my prediction. I don't want to touch it. He says to the person, would you pick it up? When they pick up the envelope, the old rattlesnake gimmick is in there, and that's the blow off to the trick.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, that's a cute ending, and it's got a, you know, a physical presence for the prediction. I said, it's sort of neat. We talked. He asked me some questions, and I answered. I go back to work. 40 minutes later, the phone rings again. It's John Allen from England, who's a friend of mine, a professional magician, who had published at that point. He was just starting his career, like I was, but he had published a number of items already. He says, Dan, I'm working on a new trick. I want to bounce it off you. He says, it's called Phobia. It has to do with things that people are afraid of. I have a number of cards with fear of heights, fear of water, and I'm thinking, oh, my word. And he says, and then someone picks one, and they pick the fear. I forget the word now, but it was the fear of explosions or loud noises.
Mm-hmm.
John said, there's the envelope. I don't want to touch it. When they pick it up, there's a bang gimmick that sets off a cap, and that's the blow off. Again, it's the identical trick. I say to John, I said, John, are you sitting down? He says, why? And I said, let me tell you, a guy called me 40 minutes ago when I relayed the conversation to John. He's like, oh, my God, yeah, I can't believe it. How could to me, the amazing thing was not the fact that you guys invented the trick about phobias. the amazing part to me was that they both called me within a 40-minute span and tell me about the trick.
So small world. And well before the internet.
Oh, yeah, this is before the internet for sure. No way they would ever have heard about the other guy's trick. And that's said to me that independent invention is going to happen. It's going to happen frequently. And especially, like I said, when you're a prolific creator like Greg is, it's going to happen more to someone like him than it will to someone like else. So then to me, it becomes a question of how honest is the person. And that's where some people have, you know, impugned Greg's honesty. And I'll just relate to you a story that when I got involved with Greg in the Secret Source, I started to go back and look at all the products, the previous paperwork, and I came across something for a deal for one of Greg's DVDs, which he had hired someone to film and edit the DVD. I'm not going to mention which one it is, but it's one of his best sellers. This thing has sold tens of thousands of copies. And the deal was written that the guy that produced the DVD was getting paid more money than Greg was on the trick, and Greg was the one that invented the trick. And I point this out to Greg. I said, Greg, look at this. He says, yeah, that was a deal I made a long time ago. And I said, yeah, it's a bad deal, but here's what we can do. We can refilm it. We can do this. We could do that. And I'm coming up with all these ways that we can to cut this guy out of paying this guy any more money. And I'm waiting for Greg to say, oh, yeah, that's good ideas. We'll do it this way. But what he says to me was, no. I said, what do you mean no? He says, well, we shook hands. He's a friend of mine. It's a bad deal, but I made it. I'm a man of my word. I'm sticking to the deal. And I was like, dude, this is just, he says, I realize it's not in my best interest to do it. I wish I could do it.
Yeah.
He says, but I'm an honest guy. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I made a deal with this guy. I'm going to fulfill the deal.
Even though he could have made a lot more money doing this.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It was just a horrible deal that he made. But it said to me something about the character of the man when the guy can, you know, and again, this has been, this was, you know, 14, 12 years, a long time ago. He could have done something justifiably. Nobody would have said if he reshot it, that's a legitimate technique.
Sure.
You refresh material. So he had legitimate ways to basically terminate that agreement with that person. But did he do that? He didn't. Why? Because he conducts himself in an honest, you know, true fashion.
Right.
And right then and there, I just said to myself, a guy that would do that, I don't have to worry that Greg Wilson is going to be doing something, you know, sneaky with me or anything like that. He won't. I've seen it in action.
So, and you can trust him.
I feel I can trust Greg Wilson.
Well, yeah, he has a different persona on stage as a con man, which is completely different, you're saying, when he's off stage.
Exactly. You know, when you're performing, you know, that's what we do. We're professional liars. We're on stage. Oh, take a look at a regular deck. It's not a regular. Everything we say is and we do is suspect, trying to lead the audience down the garden path. And Greg is a master performer of doing that. But when you come off stage, he's definitely, without a doubt, way more honest than I am. He's one of the most honest people I know. You know, he refused to lie, even when, you know, the benefit of lying would have helped him tremendously.
Right.
So a person that will, you know, have that kind of moral compass, even when it goes against his, you know, current self-interest, he's an honorable man. And, you know, the truth is very important to him.
Right. And one last thing as we start to wrap up over here, as far as him defending himself, I know he will to the last degree. And you said that you started the partnership with Secret Source at Magic Live last year, and there was a little controversy or a little argument there.
Yeah, just, you know, nothing big. But when Greg and I got to the dealer room to set up, we found the dealer map. And I saw that our booth was next to the Magic Smith. Well, Greg and the Magic Smith used to work closely together. They had a falling out, and they are no longer on good terms. And I went to the organizers of the convention and say, hey, you know, you guys look at the booth. You got the Hatfields right next to McCoy's. Do something about that. They said, oh, well, the booths are set, and they can't be changed. And we set up first. Chris Smith comes along later. And it really didn't take too much, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And they started, you know, talking to each other, and then the voices got a little louder, and then they're standing face to face. And finally, the powers that be at Magic Live said, hey, maybe we can change the dealer room. And they moved Chris Smith away, and later, to the credit of both gentlemen, I saw them get together and talk in civilly, and you know, and talk again about their situations. But no, Greg, you know, is happy to defend themselves, and he's, you know, especially when he knows that he's in the right, so he feels right. Very comfortable. And you know, who is the people that get, you know, the arrow and the fingers pointed at him? It's never a guy at the bottom that no one's ever heard of. It's always the people at the top.
Good
that
point.
Have made it well. And is there, you know, I don't know why this happens to, you know, why he's a lightning rod for this stuff. Probably it's a little jealousy over his fame and performance ability. And also, when you create as much stuff as he have, things like this are just going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think this is something that has laid dormant for a while, and he has had advice from some trusted friends just to kind of let things go as accusations have been made over the last 12 or 15 years, to the point now that there has been this piling on, if you will, and that's why I think he's finally said, okay, look, I have to defend myself that I am an honest guy. These other people are the ones who are not telling the truth, and so that's what's kind of come to a head at this point.
Yeah, I believe it has. And really, Greg started it in his podcast.
Yeah.
I even said to him, I said, dude, I think you opened, I don't know if I would have done it. I said, there was a small percentage of people that have these feelings or beliefs, and they're not going to change. But there's a lot of people out there in the magic community that had no idea that any of this was being talked about. And now they are hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, hey, the truth is the truth. And he's not shying away from the truth.
Right.
So I have to take my hat off to him, a man that, you know, firmly believes he's in the right, and when you have the, you know, the truth is on your side, as Greg feels truth is on his side, he has no fear about talking to anybody about it.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, Danny, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Scott.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Danny Archer, and this is Scotty Allen. I want to especially thank my guests today who have taken the time to speak on this podcast on behalf of Gregory Wilson. This has been just a sampling of people who have contacted me that said, hey, I don't know what's going on or where these other people are coming from, but let me please share my experience. And again, I think that it was an important thing that we have a little bit of a balanced side, so this way that we can let you make your own decisions. So again, I want to thank Dave Grippenwalt, Eric Casey, Tom Peterson, and Danny Archer for all being here this week on the Magic Word Podcast. Well, we're still running a contest for the Podo card, which is the original card, one of the cards that was used during the Cardini performance. And if you go to the bottom of the website at themagicwordpodcast.com, you can still enter the contest and register to win one of these free cards that will be framed, compliments of Randy Pitchford, the nephew of Cardini. So, until next week, stay well, get booked, and do your own research to remain balanced and fair. This is Scotty out.